7 o'clock. So, call to order. And first item is roll call. So, John Updike.
Here.
Gary East.
Here.
Bob Berman.
Here.
Jim Hanselman.
I'm almost there.
Almost there. Braulio Escobar.
Present.
And Margie Blom.
Here.
Here, okay.
You might want to.
Yeah, first order of business.
Sure, you might want to take Jim's name off the list.
Of course, he'll be off next.
Well, I didn't mention him. So first order of business is we have a new commissioner, Marjorie Blom. And I'll have just to kind of inform everybody here. Would you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you came from and what's your, because you have some planning commission background, what that was all about.
Okay, happy to do so. So I'm new to Newport. I just kind of fell into living here, traveled Oregon up and down, originally from the Central Valley in California. And I was in the planning realm for a long time, maybe 35 years, mainly in Central Valley in California. And I did spend some time with the city of Fort Worth, which was interesting because I was in the planning department, but I was the homeless planner. So I worked with a homeless population and doing grants and things like that. So I retired and came up here to Newport. My son wanted to come along, and so fortunately, he is going to Lynn Benton Community College and is almost done, but Friday night he slipped on ice and broke his ankle. Thank you, fire department, for helping him out and the local emergency room. So I was also a county planning commissioner, and how that worked for Stanislaus County, I was appointed by one of the board of supervisors representing the general area where I lived. And I was on there 4 years, 1 year as chair, and then I moved here and they weren't very happy. But I'm really happy to be here. It's, you know, a great phase in my life, and I just love it. And I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, and we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, first item to do is the approval of the work session minutes of February 13th, as well as the regular session meeting minutes of February 13th. So do we have a motion to approve those?
Sure, I'll move to approve both sets of minutes with the corrections submitted by Chair Brannigan.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Abstain.
Okay. Next up is citizens' public comment. I don't think we have anybody other than. Do we have anybody other than Jim?
Hey, I'm Carter McKenzie. I'm just here to represent those enterprises.
Okay.
Questions that the public has about.
Okay. Them. And we will get to that. Any action items, Derek?
There are no action items this evening.
Okay, public hearings. And I guess I got to read this since this is a balls that it's a public hearing that's being conducted utilizing Zoom. Before we get started, I'd like to provide staff a moment to identify any individuals that are participating virtually. Other than Councilman Hanselman, we don't have anything. I guess I can skip over all the Zoom stuff, right, Derek?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Quasi-judicial and legislative land use public hearings. What we're talking about is an amendment to the history element of the comprehensive plan, which is file 1-CP-23. This statement applies to quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the applicable criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, the Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues related to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument.
Excuse me.
At this time, I would ask planning commissioners to disclose any actual or potential conflicts of interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits. Hearing none, okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any planning commission member or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Okay, hearing none. The Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the applicable criteria. The hearing will proceed in the following order. Staff report, applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed. The applicant's rebuttal. The record then closes for public testimony. The Planning Commission does deliberation, questions, and a verbal decision. A final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. Okay. First item on the agenda is file 1CP-23, amendment to the history element of the comprehensive plan, the 1886 building. Staff?
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director. Before I start with the staff report and sharing some comments there, I want to just acknowledge there was an article in the Newport News Times on the 24th with respect to this issue. I have a copy of it, and we'll go ahead and include it in the record. So on January 9th, you know, we had a chance to talk to you about this issue, and I'll kind of summarize kind of the circumstances briefly. But on the 9th, the commission was comfortable moving forward with this package of amendments. The change here doesn't remove the 1886 building from the inventory, but it lifts the protection because of the deteriorated condition of the building. And in doing so, that will, if adopted ultimately by the city council, that would then green light the owners to demolish the structure. And the current owners have indicated is their intent to demolish the structure. So again, what we have here is the 1886 building at 618 Southwest Bay Boulevard. You know, this is a building that in March of 2022, our Newport building official, having received complaints about the condition of the building, inspected the building and ultimately issued this notice and order requiring that the unsafe conditions, which are well documented in the order, which is included in your packet, structural deficiencies be remedied either through repair or demolition, because if that doesn't happen, that building could compromise public safety. Then we do have our fire chief here to talk a little bit about some of this too, should you have questions. You know, that was sent to the owner at the time, Richard Welton, who unfortunately passed away shortly after, and then the property went into the legal process to adjudicate how it can be transferred. And so a legal firm, Sawfield Griggs, was representing the estate and worked with our building official to have the building inspected. And then the building was inspected, and there's a report from the engineering firm that did that work on behalf of the estate. And that engineering firm said there's not an imminent risk of failure. However, we caveat that because we can't see a lot of the issues, because we're only basing this determination on what we could see. And we suspect that there are other problems if we had access to some of these other areas. And we make this determination assuming a whole battery of repairs would be undertaken within a specific schedule, and that hasn't been followed. So the risk is still there. The property was then made available for sale. It was acquired by Moe's Enterprises, and they initially wanted to pursue repair. They took a look at it. They had professionals take a look at it. You had the benefit of their letter at the last meeting, where they outlined that, you know, that the substantial cost in excess of $2 million was you know, more than what they could undertake, and so they wanted to pursue demolition. Up to this point, we've only been able to authorize asbestos abatement, and which is what they've been doing, and we'll be continuing to do for another week or so, I imagine. But their ultimate, again, intent is to go ahead and demolish a structure. As the comprehensive plan is drafted right now, that can't happen. This amendment is necessary for that to be able to happen. Without this amendment, you know, any modification to that structure or alteration has to go to the Planning Commission for you to review it to ensure that the historic integrity of the building is being maintained. So the standards that this is to be evaluated under in our comprehensive plan, there are several. One of them, and I think the one that's most pertinent here, is a public need for the change. And I think there's good grounds for you to conclude that there is a public need for the change, given the deteriorated condition of the building and its risk to the public. There's also a set of administrative rules. I included the guidelines in your packet. It's under OAR 660, Division 23, 200, sub 9. It sets out the circumstances under state law that a locally significant historic resource can be removed from protection, or you can call it delisted, however you want to frame that. The one of the circumstances is if a building official determines that there's an imminent hazard to public safety. And we believe that the March of 2022 notice and order from our building official meets that bar. We shared this with the Lincoln County Historical Society. I included the correspondence from the director in your packet. She confirmed that they agree with our assessment, the condition of the building, and asked that they be afforded an opportunity to do some additional documentation before the building's torn down. That request has been forwarded to the owners. The owners are happy to do that. But they need to wrap up the asbestos abatement before that happens, but they're more than happy to allow the Historical Society to document whatever else they would like to document before the structure is demolished. And then I also included in your packet some additional information from the owners with respect to how they came about to share with you the $2 million cost for the repairs. So you have that information in your packet. So, you know, our view is that this is an appropriate course of action to take. We think the Planning Commission certainly has the authority under the administrative rules and our comprehensive plan to provide a recommendation to the City Council that they go ahead and proceed with this amendment. And then we can take a look at our rules moving forward with respect to whether or not some of the Historic Preservation Code provisions should be changed. We had talked about that on the 9th, but to maybe kind of split the two up, deal with the immediate issue now, and then look at whether or not we need to put some provisions in the code that get at maintenance of listed resources so that we don't have a situation like this in the future. And maybe even add some language to provide some clarity as to how this inventory should or shouldn't be modified moving forward. Since what we're largely dealing with right now is an inventory that occurred back in the 1980s and hasn't really been touched since then. So that's my my summary and report. If you have any questions of staff.
I like the division of the, you know, but I don't want us to lose track of that, come back and revisit this thing. There's a lot of problems with this list, I think. And so is that something that's could be scheduled in the near future?
Yeah, we'll work it in.
Well, all the details are fresh in our mind.
I'll work it into the work program so you can take a look at that.
Other questions of Dirk? If not, before we discuss the proposed amendments, could we have the fire chief kind of just come up and tell us the condition of that particular building? As to why we should do something with it.
Good evening, Commission. Rob Murphy. I'm the fire chief for Newport. So we were notified by Derek about the condition of the building and the building official's report on it. We were given a copy along with a copy of the engineering report and reviewed that. We made contact with the owners who allowed us to do a walkthrough of the building. Our crews did that. It is common for us to work in conjunction with the building official whenever he has a building or a structure that he is determining whether or not it's a dangerous building. It falls under the dangerous building code. That if we had to respond there as an emergency would obviously have some impact upon our operations. And so our crews did a walkthrough of the building. We reviewed Joseph Lease's report along with the engineering report and basically came to the same conclusions as the building official in that we had serious concerns as to the structural integrity of the building and its ability to withstand collapse with any significant fire situation. Obviously, that's our main concern with it. And the other concern we had is the close proximity of exposures on either side of the building. It's very close to its neighbors, how it's built, and along with being on Bay Boulevard, a very, very busy street, as you well know. So with that determination, I directed my crews that they were not to enter the if there was a fire at the structure, they were not to enter it under any circumstances. It would be what we call a defensive fire only, which means we stay outside, direct our hose streams in such a manner to protect the exposures as best as we can, although I have to tell you it'd be very challenging if that thing were heavily involved in fire in keeping damage away from the immediate exposures. On top of that, the collapse potential of that building, should it become involved in fire, is extremely high. I mean, you could have a perfectly brand new building, and if it's fully involved, you're going to have some form of collapse. That's just the nature of how what fire does to a building. And this, the condition of this building, that's just exacerbated. And so how we would position our apparatus, both our pumper units and ladder truck, you know, is all affected by that collapse potential of that building. And anyways, I had, and I honestly don't know if it's in your guys' report or not, but I did send a report to Derek that kind of dictated what our findings were and what we were what we were doing internally, so that our firefighters were aware of the situation. We develop what we call pre-plans of buildings, and they're basically an operational plan. If we have a fire, how we conduct fire operations on that particular structure. And we did develop one specifically for that address. We also contacted our dispatch center, WVCC out of Salem, and we had the address flagged. Again, this is a common practice for any building that's a dangerous building. We do this with, that way, if there's a fire call at this address, it automatically comes up on the dispatcher's screen, and there's specific instructions that they read out over the air to all responding fire units, and it would say something to the effect of firefighters are not to enter the structure. This is a defensive fire only. So that's a summary of the actions that we've taken and why we've taken them. Again, I just reiterate that the building official's report is detailed and I think speaks to the structural deficiencies. You know, I think that gives you clear cases to the concerns that we have of the state of the structure. So, and I'd be happy to ask entertain any questions that the commission may have.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we have, do you want to say anything, in, sir?
No, I'm just here if anyone had questions or emotional.
And you're representing Mo Enterprises?
That's right.
There was a lot of materials that we already were presenting.
Yeah, I know.
Just to answer any questions. If anyone, I expected a more full room here.
It's okay.
Welcome to the Planning Commission.
Sometimes it's more crowded than. Okay, so what we're really here for is to come up with a Derek put together, or staff put together, I should say, a draft amendment to allow Mo Enterprises to demolish the building. So what we're really focusing on is to discuss whether we need to make changes to that draft amendment, have a discussion, and make a recommendation to the city council. And the city council will ultimately make the final decision.
And this is the public hearing part right now?
Yes.
So you're not asking for commission comments yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll kind of start the discussion, if you want to have that, with what Mr. Updike thinks. Support the draft amendment or things that need to change?
Yeah, the amendment draft looks fine to me. My only question is a sense of schedule, and maybe gentlemen can help us on that. Assuming this language is approved at the city council level, then when might we expect a demolition to occur, given the concern of safety?
Sure, and I can speak to that. And Chair Brainerd, it might be good to go ahead and close the public hearing before shifting into full deliberations and questions. Just heads up.
Okay.
But to your question, Commissioner Updike, my intent is to draft this as an emergency ordinance. I don't think we're going to have difficulty justifying that given the condition of the building. And so right now, once the commission makes a recommendation, my intent is to take it to the council at the next available hearing, which would be the 20th of March, I believe. If they approve the ordinance at that meeting, it would become effective immediately. You know, in terms of at that point, we would be free to issue a demolition permit to the owner. Exactly when they intend to take the building down, I don't know.
Could you come up for the record, and if you could state your name and address for the record?
Do I have to state my address?
No.
You can use the Moe's address.
Carter McEntee, 657 Southwest Bay Boulevard, Newport, Oregon. As soon as the permit's issued, we were going to have the people there the next day. So that's all there is.
Are there any other questions? Okay. John, do you have anything else?
No, I don't. Thanks.
Gary? Favor of the draft?
No, I'm in favor of the draft. Beyond the maintenance schedule, or any hope to really save the building. Got forward to the city council for approval.
Okay, Mr. Bob?
I agree fully. My only concern is, well, I have two things. One, and I'm sure it's minor, but does the city incur any liability in encouraging the historical society to send people into an unsafe building?
I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to what liability. To your liability question, I would only indicate that the building official has determined it's unsafe to occupy that building, which is means somebody would be in there regularly. In there, it's not that it's unsafe for somebody to go in there for a short duration to carry out a specific function and get out. That's been done in a number of cases here, and I believe that's what the Historical Society wants to do. And that would be done in coordination with the owner.
Okay. And whose insurance would kick in should something happen?
I can't speak to that. That's very specific in terms of what happens, to whom, what the exact nature of it is, where it occurs. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. But it is. But it
there is.
There
is liability insurance on the property right now?
Yeah, we had to.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And the other thing, of course, is, you know, this kind of language, due to the poor condition, preservation is not required, and then talk about the Historical Society going to be do something. That isn't the kind of language that belongs in a comprehensive plan. So, but we'll get to that in the second phase of this review. But I agree that we should recommend to the City Council a positive approval of this request.
Mr. Hanselman.
Well, my concerns were the liability of someone walking around inside, but you comforted that issue for me. And the language here, I again agree with Bob, some of the language perhaps needs to be changed. But all in all, we need to do something to get an unsafe building to a less dangerous situation. And that seems to be demolition. So I'm in favor of what I see currently.
Okay, thank you. Braulio?
This is an issue of public safety. You have a building that's all of our city officials, and the reports from the owners say it's unsafe. I think we should urgently approve the draft amendment and move forward. I'm in favor of the demolition.
Okay. Marjorie?
Yes, I too am in favor, and there's clearly enough information in the record in the comprehensive staff report, the information from the chief building official and the fire department. And I also like that I believe when they build a new building, it should have the same kind of look in the area. Is that right? Is that the right wording? That the building will be...
consistent with the Bayfront character.
Yes. So I would recommend to approve the history element amendment to the history element to the comprehensive plan for the 1886 building, recommending to the city council. So I agree with my fellow commissioners.
Okay, and I agree with the draft amendment and revisiting the suggestion that Bob had. So at this point in time, do I have a recommendation to go forward with a recommendation to the city council?
Yeah, I move that we forward file number 1-CP-23 to the city council for their consideration with a positive recommendation.
Second it.
Braulio seconds it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Recommendation is approved. New business.
Just going back to this question, there was an email from the Historical Society where they wanted to take some pictures with the consent of the landowner. Is it safe for them to go and do that, or maybe the
landowner just did that for all pictures?
Pardon? I couldn't hear you, Mr. Houseman.
No comment.
Oh, I was just saying, the Historical Society said they wanted to take some photographs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether, A, it's safe, or B, maybe the owner already has an abundance of photographs that the Historical Society could look at. It's just it was just a comment in the file. Oh, okay, maybe that was the problem.
So do you need me to come up to the microphone?
No. There was a comment in the file. There was an email from the Historical Society, and they there was.
I heard you. Sorry, I meant. Do you need me to come to the microphone?
No.
But yes, I will walk them personally through the building if I have to. But we don't have pictures. I don't think we have the quality of pictures that they want.
Okay.
So they will have to come if they want those photos.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, they're just waiting for the asbestos work to be done, and which that's wrapping up shortly.
Yeah, I just talked to the guy today, and he said. Mm-hmm. Finding more and more. So.
Of course. Surprise.
Here, will you or your staff call the Historical Society folks and connect them with
We connected them already.
Great.
He keeps telling me it's going to cost a few more $1,000 every day. So.
Not surprised.
And this will come before City Council next week?
20th of March. We have to do another newspaper notice. We can't turn around that fast.
March 20th, I think, is what Derek said. Okay, now we move on. That item is closed. We're moving on to new business.
Sure, we have two items. One is a League of Oregon Cities Land Use Planning Fundamentals course that will be coming up in the coming weeks. If you're interested, let us know. There's a nominal fee, I think it's $79. We can get you registered. I know Bob's going to be or planning to attend. And so that's one piece. And then the other is a communication from Commissioner Escobar, which was an article in the Oregonian that relates to some fast-track legislation that's going through the Oregon legislature right now. And I trust you had a chance to take a look at that. That's now a dash 11 set of amendments, and it's been merged into what we call House Bill 2001. The League of Oregon Cities has indicated that they will be opposing it. I don't know what that means above and beyond that. If it is ultimately adopted, there's provisions in there that are going to take some sorting out. One of the commitments that the chair of the committee that's dealing with this has made to the league is that there will be a second bill that will clean up some of the language in the fast track bill, because there's going to be a need for cleanup language, and that will be considered as part of the same legislative session. So stay tuned. I'm reticent to do deep dives into what some of this stuff means, because, you know, we don't know exactly what some of it means right now. And if it's adopted, there'll be a fixed legislation. If that gets adopted, then there'll be rulemaking. And then we'll have a chance to talk about what the specific issues are. But the general tenor of it is to take more discretionary elements out of the process, particularly when it comes to residential construction, as much as they can. And to try to create an avenue where the state can get directly involved if they think a jurisdiction's not working hard enough to facilitate the construction of needed housing. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Just to clarify, you said the League of Oregon Cities says they plan to oppose. Is that the House Bill 2001, or
correct,
is that this part of it?
House Bill 2001, that's, I assume it's this element of the dash 11 amendments. There are a number of pieces to it, and I can't, but it's this stuff.
And you'll find out why and let us know.
Sure.
Okay.
That's all I had.
In the unfinished business or director's comments?
Nothing additional at this point.
Okay.
I have one quick thing.
He wants to use his new.
Oh, he was trying.
Are you calling on me now?
Yeah.
Thank you. Tomorrow evening kicks off this year's budget cycle. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to let as many people know as possible that this is happening, that public input is highly desired, and any, as you relate to different departments and different organizations, different committees within the city structure, a lot of them come down to how much money do they have to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, and this is the time to get your thoughts in on some of those potential provisions. Now, the actual budget won't be available for another almost 2 months, but the process is starting now, and so if you think about that as your other interactions with the city and you see things that maybe need fixing, landscaping, you know, just about anything that the city touches is available for discussion at the budget meeting, so feel free to participate.
Do you have to come to the budget meeting?
No.
Or we can just...
No. Just comment letters are greatly appreciated.
We can zoom in for 4 hours if we wanted.
If you wanted, you certainly could. But if you zoom in, you don't get a free dinner. That's it.
Where is the meeting, Bob?
Tomorrow night, it's right here. All the meetings are right here.
Okay.
In this room.
Does anybody else have anything? Only once, twice, get to use a new gavel.
Thanks, John.
Wow.